Good morning all, this is Ecotones with Shelley. Coming up on today's episode of Ecotones, we have the Aboriginal Tent Embassy, Corroboree for Sovereignty. It's January 26th, the Nimbin Environment Centre is planning to get a bus together if we can get enough people interested in going. Whales, what's happening with the whales? In the last 24 hours, I'll get back to that later, with the water supplies of the area, the local latest statistics on climate change, how much has been, what around the world has been the hottest and driest of many, many seasons, a little bit on what the Environment Centre is up to at the moment, and a few other things, a little bit of a chat on Sea Shepherd, which I've only just found out about, but it sounds really interesting.
Now if you mess with nature, you must pay the consequences. And too much chemicals in the atmosphere, that's darn good. So it is. There's a hole in the atmosphere, so the scientists say, it's getting hotter and hotter and hotter every day. So the scientists say, well I'm not a scientist, I am an ordinary man, and I like to know what's going on as much as I can. One thing them a say that me keep on a hear, there's a hole up there in the atmosphere. No, somewhere up there is the ozone layer, and ultraviolet radiation from the sun protector. There's a hole in a hit the size of America, situated somewhere over Antarctica. No chlorofluorocarbon is a gas of some sort, then call it CFC gas just for short. You find it in a solvent, an aerosol can, in a air conditioning and refrigeration. No, CFC gas a build up all around, and it seems like the gas a eat out the ozone and make thousands of tons of heat in England alone. And it seems like the coal are just growing and growing, cause sunlight getting stronger and the world's gonna get warmer and warmer. And Europe are fret, also America, cause the white people then we get skin cancer. There's a hole in the atmosphere, so the scientists say, getting hotter and hotter and hotter every day. So the scientists say, what me say? Skin cancer, no bother me. Look at me skin now with black and healthy. Me and sunshine, we agree. Black people go with sunlight, bees we don't eat. Skin cancer, that of a white man, then get it when they stop out in the sun too long. Skin burn up, but them a look a suntan. We just cool, we have a natural one. There's a hole in the atmosphere, so the scientists say, getting hotter and hotter and hotter every day. So the scientists say, CFC gas a man invented. Europe and America produce most of it. Use some of it, export some of it to the developing countries on the planet. Now them a said that them have to ban it, or the effects on the world could be catastrophic. For the poor countries who make a little bit, a ban would a lick those countries' pocket. The Western world, man, them have the knowledge and the money for look for an alternative. But for the poor third world, where so much people live, something like that would
would be too expensive. America, Europe, them would a do more business. Sell off the old aerosol and the old fridge. Undercover, sell them to Africa. And blame them for the hole in the ozone layer. So rich countries, I want you to listen to me. Are you causing a problem with your technology? So are you fi put it right, not the poor country? Cause the white people will get the most misery. There won't be a lot of white people around. But when the strong sunlight start come down, oh brown turn black and oh white turn brown. If you want to stay white, you have to stay at home. There's a hole in the atmosphere.
Oh my goodness, have you heard about the new sedition laws? It's disgusting. I've got a newspaper here. It's a good newspaper, but it's political. So I'm not going to like go into which newspaper it is, because to me, as an environmentalist, to become a politician means you've already compromised. So that's my standpoint on politics, to try and stay out of them, and try and
Empowerment is not politics. You can be powerful without being a politician. But how is Anti-Terrorism Act of 2005, along with accompanying legislation, provides for, among other things, okay, vague catch-all definitions of terror and terrorists. No evidence is required that the terrorists are planning a specific attack, only that they might be considering one. Sedition laws with 7-year sentences for exciting disaffection against the government or promoting feelings of ill will and hostility. So that's anything that you say that you're not happy with about the government, I guess. Exciting disaffection against the government or promoting feelings of ill will and hostility. Police powers to imprison anyone for 14 days or to confine them to home detention for up to 1 year with no charge, and to shoot to kill in making such arrests, as British police did around the subway bombings in July. Family members or journalists who disclose such imprisonment or detention may be sentenced to 5 to 7 years, and those detained or their lawyers may not see the evidence upon which such confinement is based. Okay. Conversations between lawyers and their defendants may be taped. That's outlawed even at Guantanamo Bay. The use of unchallengeable video or other evidence from abroad, opening the door to that game by torture. New stop, question and search laws modelled on Britain's laws in Northern Ireland. And they're pretty hairy, I've heard. They're not very popular in Ireland. The use of the army to carry out civilian policing for the first time in Australia's history, under even the potential of a terrorist attack. So armies on the streets, and an earlier Howard Law actually gave the army the right to shoot to kill civilians. ASIO has been doubled in size. The Australian Army is being reorganised to function as a counter-insurgency force rather than as a traditional army. So, there will be soldiers patrolling the streets shooting at people. You know, that's the kind of laws that are being brought in, and it's so bizarre when these laws that are coming in to shut down people, to make people not allowed to talk, at the same time they're bringing in ridiculous laws. I mean, I'm sure you've heard, some of the lying that goes on, and then also this suppression on top. So, yeah, they're the new laws. They suck, but they're there, and I guess that it'll only take a little while before that. They're laws put in place to keep people suppressed, but I don't think Australia's up for being suppressed. I think that we've got a little bit more spirit. I hope so. We'll be right back.
Peter Tosh, Down Presser Man. This is a bit off the wall, what I'm going to say, but it's relevant, I reckon, when you consider that evolution is, it's what this planet does, is it continues to create and evolve. And at the moment, what's happening is humans are creating heaps of places on Earth that look the same, that make all these cities, and then control the environment within, live in little boxes. And is on a, from an evolutionary viewpoint, that's probably one of the worst things we could do as a species, because evolution thrives on different environmental niches in order to create new and interesting species, and instead humans are making everything exactly the same. So all the humans are becoming used to a closeted existence where they can control whether they're cold or hot, and control whether you know, they're getting rained on or not. And that means that all around the world there's all these people living in environments that are really remarkably similar, and that means that we're probably not allowing evolution to do what it does best, which is
find new niches, new ways of existence, and struggling with them so that life can exist in those areas rather than just all the desert that we control. Sure, it was a bit scratched. On with the next topic, which is climate change and what's happening now. Last year was Australia's hottest on record. A Bureau of Meteorology climate summary. This is out of the Northern Star Thursday. Bureau of Meteorology climate summary shows 2005 was more than 1 degree warmer than the average temperature between 1961 and 1990. Which is the world standard used to track temperature change. It shows that Australia's average temperature in 2005 was 22.89 degrees. That's 1.09 degrees above the international standard. It's likely to be, they think, one of the hottest years globally as well. It shows that the global temperature was 0.48 degrees above average in 2005. Of course, Ian Campbell, the Environment Minister, he recognises that climate change is the biggest modern-day environmental challenge, you know. Thanks for coming on board. Now do something about it, you know, because we're still one of the only two developed nations which won't sign the Kyoto Protocol, which is not surprising since we're the biggest culprits. And the sadder thing about the Kyoto Protocol, though, is it calls on countries to cut greenhouse emissions by 5.2%. Below 1990 levels by 2012. The government won't even do that. But if we did do that, it wouldn't be enough. I've read reports to say it's got to be a lot more drastic. That 5% idea that was like 1990s or something. They came up with that figure, but with the research now, with the recognition that pollution was actually offsetting global climate change, and now that we're starting to deal with the pollution, we see that the climate change is actually a much bigger concern. 5% changing use it won't be enough. Looking at all those cities and realizing that the only way to stop what's coming is for every one of those people in those cities to learn that it's night time, go to bed, turn the switch off, and that's the only way it's going to get better. Like, they've, at the moment, they're all there, and they consume a finite resource as stupidly as possible. I mean, they come up with new and innovative ways to take the energy source that the whole world is using, an energy source that was stored millions of years ago, and I mean, I can't get over the ways, if you've got this precious package that you want to keep for the future, you don't just go around and you know, think of ways to destroy it quickly. You know, war isn't the only reason to build a rocket. You know, and yet that's the only one they can come up with. It's boring. And, you know, I hope I don't get sedition laws on me, but I can't wait to see them lose their power.
Are a natural way of life. If you have an interest in herbal history, herbal cultivation, or the effects of herbs upon your health, listen in to herbalist Tony Stallone on Health Beats, Monday mornings between 10 and 11 a.m. Health Beats on NIM FM, of course.
Hi, it's Martin from scan.org. Just to let you know, we have changed the time from 10 a.m. Sundays to 11 a.m. Sundays. So it's 1 hour only, and it will be 1 hour grassroots radio zone from around Australia and local news, hopefully, current affairs, stories, you know. So, Sunday, 11 a.m., don't forget. It'll be 1 hour longer you can sleep in with scan.org. Ah.
Good while it lasted. Water supplies. We, even though it's been really hot and we've had really hot, hot time of it, we're actually doing okay as far as water goes. I've been loving the spectacular thunderstorm events around here. They're just amazing. But apparently in late June, the heavens opened on June 29th and the 30th. Intense rain and gale force winds resulted in rainfall 4 to 5 times the average. Byron Bay received 265 millimetres in 12 hours. Evans Head was deluged. Tabulum received 153.4 metres. The heavy rain resulted in flooding. There was rain everywhere, but it's just so bizarre because it's the hottest year on record and there's drought in a lot of places, and yet around here it's like, it's okay, we'll keep the restrictions just low-key at the moment. I mean, water is very, very precious and everyone should look after their water and treat it as life, which it is. But it just seems that we're blessed. We have enough water for now. For now.
I'm on the sofa with from Zion.
To
Jess from the Nimblebush Theatre has just rang up with some very important news. The Nimblebush Theatre has matinees this Saturday and Wednesday at 11:30 a.m. Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire is playing. But the important thing is that at the moment, if nobody turns up, there's not going to be any more for the rest of the season. So any more matinees, that is, for the rest of the season. So it's Saturday and Wednesday, 11:30 a.m. at the Nimblebush Theatre. Be there to see Harry Potter. Okay, next on the agenda is the Aboriginal Tent Embassy. It has its corroboree for sovereignty this January 26th. I think there's a whole bunch of people already planning to go, but basically, if you want to go, go down to the Environment Centre and put your name down and say and express your interest, because if enough people do that, then there'll be something done about transport down there. So, yeah, go down to the Environment Centre if you're interested in going to corroboree. It should be a very, very good corroboree this year. At the moment, the embassy has been coming, has been the centre of attention from a lot of different angles, and it's very close to my heart, as I say every week. But it is also a very, very important place for any kind of activism or any kind of stand against the government for the iniquities that they've committed. So yeah, show your support. Get to the embassy for January 26th, which is corroboree for sovereignty.
Thank you.
If it wasn't for this show, I'd be totally disjointed from current affairs because I don't have a television and I don't read newspapers. It's my bad. I should do more of it. I don't get newspapers because I just see them as big wads of Tasmanian forest. Most of the newspapers. It's an interesting. What happens to the trees in Tassie, because a lot of people they understand what's going on down there, but the actual economics and the global scale of things is sometimes neglected. But what happens is you've got your locals in Tassie that watch the forests be destroyed around them. There's not a great deal of people employed that couldn't be shifted into other employment. For example, the biggest wood chip mill in the southern hemisphere, I think, employs 12 people. That's in Tassie. Anyway, the locals see their forests drive past on trucks. The trucks take them to the wood chip mill. They get wood chipped. They get it taken to Japan, sold to Japan. From Japan turns them into paper and sells them, distributes that paper back to Australia, believe it or not, and also through Europe, to make the global circle complete. England then collects the paper that Japan has made from Tasmania's wood chips and recycles it and sells it to the world as well. So it's a company called Evolve in England. If you're looking for, I know that hemp paper is far better, but if you are looking for good recycled paper, it's a company called Evolve in England. Theirs is 100% recycled. Now, the difference between theirs and other companies that purport 100% recycling is usually the recycled is also offcuts of normal paper. So as they're putting them through the machine, all the stuff that gets cut off the sides to make so that, you know, they're nice flat pieces, that's also considered recycled, which it isn't really. It's brand new use. Economically, the government of Tasmania gets about, and this figures change, but about $10 to $12 a ton for the wood chips that they sell. That's the government, state government. The Guns Limited, the company that is willfully destroying Tassie's forests for financial gain, they get about $100 to $120 a ton. So the government gets $12. This company gets over $100 a ton from Japan. And then you and I, as consumers, well, we buy it back for about $1,200 a ton. So if you look at the average person in Tasmania that has, not that he could have a composting toilet, because apparently composting toilets down there are illegal, but he's basically watching his forest drive past him in a truck and then paying for the privilege to wipe his bottom on them when they come back. So that's the full cycle, is the forests leave in wood chip form and they come back as toilet paper, they come back as cardboard, they come back as packaging. It's just so symbolic to me that one of our greatest treasures is it's turned into the lowest, cheapest commodity. That's what they do. Our forest that has not been touched by humans. It's, you know, the forest that has never experienced the degradation that we've put the rest of the planet to. Its future is to wipe our bottoms on us.
Mi alma, amor de luz. doing. That's better. I've just started using these headphones. They're fantastic. I can actually hear myself now. It's cool. Years ago, I heard about this when Greenpeace first started. And this is the story I'll tell you so that you can see how it inspired me at the time. But I'd been in blockades, I'd been campaigning, I'd done banner drops in the city, I'd done all this stuff, and I was sitting in a group of a bunch of campaigners, awesome group of people that never give up, and they're there, and a World Environment Day was coming up, and they're talking about what they're going to do. They're going to paint a banner, and also because it was a marine focus on the campaign, they were going to also build a sandcastle down at the beach. And all relevant. I've learnt now that it's about the individual. It doesn't matter what you're doing to be active, it's that you're doing it is the important thing. And so yes, all very relevant. Whatever action you're doing, whether you're out there in the forest, or you're painting, or you're listening to music and playing music, or opening your mouth on the street, or recycling, whatever you're doing, it's important because you're doing it. But at the time, I was jaded and feeling very ineffective because I'd given absolutely everything that I possibly could to help change the environment, and I was campaigning in the Eden Menara seat, which is down Bega Way. It's like a litmus paper seat because it's for the last 30 years or something, it's always gone the way of the government. Like if Liberal wins it, Liberal gets in. If Labor wins it, Labor gets in. So it's a very good, it's a very contentious seat. But yeah, campaigning in there, did heaps of stuff and felt totally positive the whole time. You know, like holding signs up out on the road, and just the amount of people beeping, despite the fact they were beeping from a brand new clean four wheel drive, that they were still beeping, they were still supporting, and I was positive that it was all going to change. And I guess heaps of people do that. You know, just be so sure that it can't go on. It's obviously wrong. It can't go on. But it did. The seat was actually a 1.8 swing towards Liberal, more than it had been before Liberal got in, all that. So I was pretty shattered, and I was sitting around, and this group of people are planning their next action, which consists of painting some banners and building a sandcastle. You know, man, the world's getting destroyed before our very eyes, and that's what we can come up with, painting banners and building sandcastles. And I realised that this energy that I was bringing into this this group of really inspired people was not cool energy. I had my own shit to deal with, you know. Like I was feeling ineffective, and I was sharing that, and that was not good. But then I heard this story about a guy, and it was when Greenpeace first started, and he didn't like the total non-violence, well, not the non-violence, but the peaceful ways of Greenpeace. He wanted to be a little bit more in your face. And the story I heard was that when Greenpeace started up originally and it started to get successful, he split from them, bought a Russian submarine and went down into the Southern Oceans to hunt whalers. And to me, at that time of my life, it was like, yeah, well, okay. And not that I'm not saying violence. Like, he wasn't violent. He just went down there to be... He found a way to be effective. And to me, at that point in my life, it made me realize that, okay, there's more than one way to do this. You know, you can paint a banner, or you can write music, or you can do whatever. But the important thing is that you don't give up. You don't stop doing things just because it's so hard. And you certainly don't get in the way of other people doing things just because you don't see the effectiveness of what they're doing, because it is effective, because it's about the individual. But this guy, I was just talking to Bob out the front here, and apparently it's all well known, you know. I thought this was a big little, like a little secret, you know, but amongst activists. But no, it's called Sea Shepherd, and they're out there at the moment. In the last 24 hours, apparently a whole bunch of minke whales have been killed, murdered, slaughtered, and the Sea Shepherd and the Rainbow Warrior, I think, is out there either trying to stop the whales from being killed, but once they're killed, trying to sink the carcasses so they can't get them. So yay. Yeah, Sea Shepherd and the Rainbow Warrior side by side, it's pretty cool. I wonder if he's still got his He's a submarine. I wonder if he needs crew.
Cannot find your way, and you live nowhere each day. Make your roots and culture, man. If you seem to live a lie, and you can't look blackness in the eye. Make your roots and culture, man. Cause there is nothing like the roots to bring forth fruitful fruits. Yes, there is nothing like culture to make you big boat, yeah. Big in roots and culture, man. Speak, and you feel that you are weak. Dig your roots and culture, man. When your perm does not make sense, and you know your perm's a temp. Dig your roots and culture, man. Every day you see your face, so get to know this place. And every day you sense a soul, so dig who's in control. Dig your roots and culture, man. That you fear no Babylon. Just can't find the time, and you can't find time to rhyme. Dig your roots and culture, man. If you cannot find yourself with no help from no one else, dig your roots and culture, man.
Culture, man.